Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane. Today is Rukmini Dwadashi, so I'm going to be reading about Rukmini's message to Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam. Let us begin by invoking auspiciousness. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tenth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is subtitled The Summum Bonum, Chapter 52, Rukmini's Message to Lord Krishna. Chapter Summary. This chapter describes how Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna, running as if in fear, went to Dwaraka. Then Lord Krishna heard the message of Rukmini from the mouth of a Brahmin and chose her as his wife. The background scene is Jarasandha has attacked Krishna for the 18th time. 17 times Jarasandha attacked Krishna with an army. Krishna would completely destroy his entire army and let Jarasandha going back home wagging his tail in defeat. And each time Jarasandha would gather another army of demons, Krishna would wipe them out. On the 18th attempt, Jarasandha combined forces with Kalayavana, and Krishna led Kalayavana to a cave. And in that cave was the sleeping Muchukunda. And Kalayavana thought that the sleeping Muchukunda was Krishna. And he kicked the sleeping Muchukunda, who woke up and then looked at him with blazing eyes. And Kalayavana burned up, not because of the eyes of Muchukunda, but he burned up because of his sinful reactions. Krishna then reappeared in front of Muchukunda. King Muchukunda, shown mercy by Lord Sri Krishna, offered obeisances and circumambulated him. The king then left the cave and saw that humans, animals, trees, and plants were all smaller than when he had fallen asleep. From this he could understand that the age of Kali was at hand. Thus, in a mood of detachment from all material association, the king began worshipping the Supreme Lord. Everyone say, Shri Hari.
Shri
Krishna returned to Mathura, which was still under siege by the barbarian army. He destroyed this army, collected all the valuables the soldiers had been carrying, and set off to Dwaraka. Just then, Jarasandha arrived on the scene with a force of 23 Akshahinis. One point here, it was at this time, just before this 18th attempt, that Krishna was very concerned for the residents of Mathura. Being attacked on two sides, Krishna decided, this could be precarious. So Krishna created Dwaraka in the midst of the sea on the west coast. And the thing that I like the most, the residents of Mathura went to sleep, and when they woke up, they were in Dwaraka. That's the way to travel.
Yes.
Very nice. How Krishna takes care of his devotees. Just take rest. All your arrangements are being done. Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna, acting as if fearful, left their riches aside and ran far away. Because Jarasandha could not appreciate their true power, he ran after them. After running a long way, Ram and Krishna came to a mountain named Pravashana and proceeded to climb it. Jarasandha thought that they had hidden inside a cave and looked all over for them. Unable to find them, he built fires on all sides of the mountains. As the vegetation on the mountain slopes burst into flames, Krishna and Balaram jumped off the peak. And I believe in Krishna book it says that this mountain was 81 miles. So Krishna and Balaram jumped 81 miles. No hurt, no owie. That means they're God. And it was at this time that Krishna got another one of his names. Who knows that name? Yes, Ramchandraji, the one who supposedly left the battle. As the vegetation on the mountain slopes burst into flame, Krishna and Balaram jumped off the peak. After reaching the ground, unseen by Jarasandha and his followers, they returned to the Dwaraka fort, which floated within the sea. Jarasandha decided that Ram and Krishna had burned to death in the fire, and he took his army back to his kingdom. And again, we remember, Jarasandha again meets Krishna later, because before performing the Rajasuya sacrifice, Uddhava had counseled Krishna, saying that, well, Yudhisthira cannot do the Rajasuya sacrifice until Jarasandha is dead. So Krishna, Arjuna, and Bhim went to visit Jarasandha, and they dressed themselves to look as Brahmins, because Jarasandha, even though he was a demon, was very charitable to Brahmins. And when they appeared in front of Jarasandha, Jarasandha was noticing, these are very funny looking Brahmins. They're very buff, and they have different markings on them that these are not really. So Jarasandha said, yes, you are Brahmins, you have come, I can give you whatever charity. Then Krishna revealed, actually we're not Brahmins. Here is Arjuna, here is your arch enemy, Bhima, and I am your old friend Krishna. And so Jarasandha said, well, Krishna, I'm not going to fight you because you ran away from the battle. What an idiot. How many times did Krishna smash him?
17.
Oh, one time? Jeez. And then he said to Arjuna, no, I can't fight you. You're younger. But Bhima, all right, we'll fight. So they fought 27, 28 days. Finally, Krishna gave Bhima the clue that what was Jarasandha's Achilles heel, so to speak? Yes. And he was put together by a witch. Therefore, Jarasandha. And therefore, Jarasandha was killed. All right, let's get back to the story at hand. Everyone chant the Maha Mantra. So are you liking my style?
Too much. Yeah.
Too much? Well, that needs a drink of water if it's too much. Jai. At this point, Maharaj Parikshit asked a question, and Sri Shukadeva Goswami responded to it by beginning to narrate the history of the marriage of Lord Sri Krishna and Rukmini. In Krishna book, Prabhupada says, why did Krishna leave the battle? Not because he was afraid of Jarasandha, but he knew that this was about to occur, this marriage to his first wife, Rukmini. So the way I always tell it is, Krishna didn't want to deal with Jarasandha. He had much better things to do. He already beat him 17 times. Rukmini is about to come. Oh, that's more important. You got to prioritize sometimes. All right, let's continue. Rukmini, the younger daughter of Bhishmaka, king of Vidarbha, had heard of Sri Krishna's beauty, strength, and other fine qualities, and she therefore made up her mind that he would be the perfect husband for her. Lord Krishna also wanted to marry her. But although Rukmini's other relatives approved of her marriage to Krishna, her brother Rukmi was envious of the Lord and thus forbade her to marry him. Rukmi wanted her to marry Shishupal instead. Rukmini unhappily took up her duties in preparation for the marriage, but she also sent a trustworthy Brahmin to Krishna with a letter. And we're going to, after this chapter summary, we're going to look at Rukmini's very nice letter. When the Brahmana arrived in Dwaraka, Sri Krishna properly honored him with ritual worship and other tokens of reverence. The Lord then asked the Brahmin why he had come. The Brahmin opened Rukmini's letter and showed it to Lord Krishna, who had the messenger read it to him. Okay, I'm going to skip this part because we're going to go into that. After reading Rukmini's letter to Lord Krishna, the Brahmana took his leave so he might carry out his daily religious duties. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. One more time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And one more time, please.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
In her letter, as read by the Brahmin, Sri Rukmini said, Bhuvana Sundara, so that's a name of Krishna, O beauty of the world. Everyone say, Bhuvana Sundara. Having heard of your qualities, which enter the ears of those who hear, and which remove their bodily distress, and having also heard of your beauty, which fulfills all the visual desires of those who see, I have fixed my shameless mind upon you. So what I appreciate from this first prayer, she's approaching Krishna in the exact mood. That mood is taught to us by Lord Chaitanya. Trinadapi sunichena turor iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sada hari. She's approaching Bhuvana Sundara with very nice humility. I have fixed my shameless mind upon you. And notice she says, having heard your qualities which remove people's bodily distress. This is one of the benedictions of hearing and chanting about Krishna. That simply by hearing about Krishna, you become blissful. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. Lord Chaitanya teaches us that the Sankirtan movement, it is like diving into an ocean of increasing bliss. Just like when I turned the kirtan over to Bhaktapita Maharaj, he started off and then he got more and more into it, and the ladies and others were getting into it. You didn't really want to stop, did you? You were getting so much into it. I was watching. You were dancing. You became more and more animated. That is the nature of Krishna's holy name. It has nothing to do with musical expertise or if someone is a fantastic singer. No. It has to do with the bhav, the devotee's love and devotion. One time, I asked a very elderly Indian lady back in Los Angeles, and I was asking her, you know, there are so many kirtan singers all over the world, not just in ISKCON. There's so many great singers. So I asked this elderly, Hare Krishna. ISKCON Vancouver deities ki jai. Jai Shishi Gaur Nitai. Jai Shishi Radha Madan Mohan. Jai Jagannath Baladev Subhadra ki jai. So I asked her, I said, why you like this ISKCON kirtan? Because many times it's Westerners. She goes, oh, the ISKCON kirtan has very nice bhav. See, and it doesn't matter if it's American or Indian. ISKCON devotees have that bhav. Okay, let's continue. Hearing from Rukmini. O Krishna, you are equal only to yourself. Therefore, the word asamordva. No one is equal to Krishna, no one is greater. Or just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mattak Parataram Nanyat, one of my favorite verses to quote in many situations. There is no truth superior to Krishna. You are equal only to yourself, O Mukunda. Everybody say?
Mukunda.
And who can give me, first of all, the general meaning of Mukunda? But what about the esoteric meaning, which we find in 10th canto? All right, I gave you a chance. No. Krishna is always smiling. And his face is compared to the Kunda flower, because that Kunda flower is also looks like it's smiling at you. So Krishna is compared to the Kunda flower because he's always smiling. I think he's smiling here. So therefore, Mukunda, everyone say.
Mukunda.
You are equal only to yourself in lineage, character, beauty, knowledge, youthfulness, wealth, and influence. He has the six opulences all at the same time. To an unlimited degree. I may have a half a opulence. Some of you have one or two. And say you find somebody that has all the opulences. But can they claim I have them unlimitedly? Baba. No way. But Krishna, and that's why Prabhupada writes in his introduction to Krishna book, we have not seen anyone with these opulences like Krishna in the history of mankind. And Prabhupada says, people know what we mean by this word Godhead. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. And beauty, we learned from Lord Chaitanya that Krishna has four qualities even Narayan doesn't have. One of them, unexcelled beauty. One of them, he plays that flute. You can read in this 10th canto or Krishna book what happens when Krishna plays that flute. He's always surrounded by loving devotees who have unparalleled love for him. And he performs uncommon, wonderful pastimes, the quintessence of all of his pastimes, rasa dance. Yes. Now, look at what she calls him. She calls Krishna Nrisimha. Wow. O lion among men. O lion among men, Nrisimha. You delight the minds of all mankind. What aristocratic, sober-minded, and marriageable girl of a good family would not choose you as her husband when the proper time has come. And we recall Lord Ram, when he appeared, Shurpanakh was attracted. Even though she was great demoness, she wanted Ram. So Ram is also very, very, very attractive. And we see, what's that? Yes, the sages, right. They wanted to have that conjugal relation. And Ram said, no, in this avatar, I've taken the vow, Eka Patni, only one wife. But when I come next time as Krishna, and they entered the rasa dance, they were allowed, along with the eternal associates, and this is reminds me, the word is used, promoted, that they were promoted to the status of, so that's why I preach many times, you can be promoted to the circle of rasa dance. And for more evidence, in case somebody challenges me, there is that Prabhupada is explaining the song Jai Radha Madhav. I have it. And Prabhupada directly says, the goal of this Krishna consciousness movement is to become one of the gopi janas. Ding, ding, ding. That's why I love my Srila Prabhupada. You can become a gopi jana. I want to become a gopi jana. So let's become gopi janas by worshipping Guru Gauranga. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. There's something about this temple room that gets me very enlivened and super fired up. There's something about this temple room. That's what it means. Yes, it's part and parcel. Very good. All right. Therefore, my dear Lord, I have chosen you as my husband, and I surrender myself to you. Please come swiftly, Vibhu. Everyone say.
Vibhu.
Vibhu means all almighty one. And make me your wife, my dear lotus-eyed Lord, and that means Ambu Jaksha. Everyone say. Let Shishupal never touch the hero's portion like a jackal stealing the property of a lion. If I have sufficiently worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead by such things as pious works, sacrifices, charity, rituals, and vows, and also by worshipping demigods, brahmins, and gurus, then may Gadagraja come and take my hand. Everyone say that name, Gadagraja. Let Gadagraja come and take my hand, and not Damagosha's son or anyone else. O unconquerable one, what name is that? Unconquerable. Ajita, yes. Tomorrow, when my marriage ceremony is about to begin, so you can imagine, tomorrow, so Krishna is getting this letter, Rukmini wants him to come right away. Tomorrow, when my marriage ceremony is about to begin, you should arrive unseen in Vidarbha and surround yourself with the leaders of your army. Then crush the forces of Chaija and Magadendra, and marry me in the Rakshasa style, winning me with your valor. Since I will be staying within the inner chambers of the palace, you may wonder, how can I carry you away without killing some of your relatives? But I shall tell you a way. And Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, Rukmini, being a princess, she had smarts. She knew how to do things diplomatically. So she proves it here. And that teaches us that a devotee, to serve Krishna, we many times, if not all times, we must use our intelligence. When I was working a regular karmi job as a bookkeeper, I had a Jewish boss. And when he found out that I was a devotee, he sometimes would make fun of me. He said, "Oh, you don't eat cows." So I challenged him, "Well, you have two big dogs. Would you like it if I ate your dogs? You love your dogs so much. But we love cows." So he used to think, because we used to talk, he said, "Oh, you guys, you Hare Krishna people, you're just chanting, you don't think." I said, you don't know what you're talking about. You live one day in the temple. You have to use your brain so much. Don't you have to tax your brain? It's not that we're just walking around idle with our... He had no idea. You've done Sankirtan. How much racking your brain you have to do. The police are trying to get you. You're trying to convince this idiot to take what's good for him. You've got to come up with so many different things. You have to use, and you were all saying yesterday, all the different attacks you had to undergo on Sankirtan. You've got to use your intelligence and brain. It's not that we're just idle-minded. We're not just sitting around the temple all day just mumbling to ourselves. No. We use our full faculties in becoming a devotee. But I shall tell you a way. One day before the marriage, there is a grand procession to honor the royal family's deity. And in this case, it was Ambika or Amba, Durga Devi. And in this procession, the new bride goes out the city to visit Goddess Girija. O lotus-eyed one, Ambujaksha, everyone say.
Ambujaksha.
Great souls like Lord Shiva, hanker to bathe in the dust of your lotus feet and thereby destroy their ignorance. If I cannot obtain your mercy, I shall simply give up my vital force, which will have become weak from the severe penances I will perform. Then, after hundreds of lifetimes of endeavor, I may obtain your mercy. So this teaches us how determined one must be if you want Krishna. There's one very nice lecture Prabhupada gave. I heard this lecture when I was a brahmachari on traveling Sankirtan in 1974. And we were taking lunch, and the devotee, the leader, played this tape. And Prabhupada was explaining the concept laulyam. And Prabhupada was saying that in order to get Krishna, you have to have intense greed. And Prabhupada was slamming his fist on the table. You have to have that much greed that you will do anything to get Krishna. And so that made a big impression on me. Prabhupada was, you'll be willing to do anything. And I look at Prabhupada. At the age of 70, he gets on a boat, suffers 2 heart attacks. Why? Just to serve the order of Guru and Krishna. He's 1 year struggling in New York. I'm from New York. When I hear that Prabhupada stayed on the Bowery. The Bowery, I don't want to be there 5 minutes. And Prabhupada was living on that Bowery for months. And he was even attacked by a drug-crazed man. Prabhupada undergone so much strife and tribulation for our benefit. Nobody can replace Srila Prabhupada in my life. One time, some of my godbrothers, they were trying to get me to follow somebody else. No names necessary. But they had sort of left Prabhupada and they were following some other Vaishnava. So that year I was asked by LA Temple to write the Vyas Puja offering for LA Temple. And that, when those people asked me, I wrote as my Vyas Puja offering, that how I can go to somebody else. I've already given my heart and soul and life to Srila Prabhupada. I'm not going to give it to somebody else. I have to remain chaste to Srila Prabhupada. He saved me. Nobody else saved me. Only Srila Prabhupada saved me. When I had nowhere else, nothing else, I was at rock bottom. Prabhupada and his devotees and his movement saved me. So I gave Prabhupada my life back in 1973. Can't take it back. Srila Prabhupada ki. All right, let's read now how Krishna kidnaps Rukmini. What time we should end? 8:30? 8:30? Okay. After Lord Krishna had heard the Brahmin messenger recite Rukmini's letter, the Lord said to him, I am indeed attracted to Rukmini, and I know of her brother Rukmini's opposition to my marrying her. Therefore, I must kidnap her after crushing all the low-class kings, just as one might generate fire from wood by friction. Since the solemnizing of vows between Rukmini and Shishupal was scheduled to occur, Lord Krishna had Dwarka ready his chariot at once. Then he immediately set out for Vidarbha, which he reached after one night's travel. There's Krishna. He does the impossible. King Bhishmaka, trapped by his affection for his son Rukmi, was prepared to give his daughter to Shishupal. It's amazing. Everybody else in the family wanted her to marry Krishna, but because of one son, she had to go to Shishupal. Bhishmaka saw to all the necessary preparations. He had the city decorated in various ways and had its main roads and intersections thoroughly cleansed. Dhamagosh, the king of Chedi, having also done everything necessary to prepare for his son's marriage, arrived in Vidarbha. King Bhishmaka greeted him properly and gave him a place to stay. Many other kings, such as Jarasandha, Shalva, and Dantavakra, who later on, one after another, go down, also came to witness the occasion. These enemies of Krishna had conspired to kidnap the bride if Krishna came. So they had a feeling, right? We got to be careful of this Krishna. They planned to fight him together and thus guarantee Shishupal, his bride. Hearing of these plans, Lord Baladev, there he is, Lord Baladev ki, gathered his entire army and quickly went to Kundinapur. On the night before the wedding, Rukmini, about to retire, had still not seen either the Brahmin or Krishna arrived. In anxiety, she cursed her bad fortune. But just then, she felt her left side twitch, which was a good omen. Now, does anybody know, is it the same for men if the left side twitches? So for men it's right, for women it's left. All right, thank you. I always... What's that? Yeah, right side of the body. Right, okay. Thank you. See, you learned something in a Hare Krishna temple. Yes. But just then she felt her left side twitch, which was a good omen. Indeed, the Brahmin shortly appeared and related to her what Krishna had said, including his firm promise to kidnap her. When King Bhishmaka heard that Krishna and Balaram had arrived, he went out to greet them to the accompaniment of triumphant music. He worshiped the lords with various gifts and then designated residences for them. Thus the king showed due respect to the lords as he did to each of his numerous royal guests. The people of Vidarbha, seeing Lord Krishna, remarked to one another that he alone would be a suitable husband for Rukmini. They prayed that on the strength of whatever pious credit they had, Krishna might win Rukmini's hand. This is called devotion. This is love. They were willing to give everything just so that Krishna can be with Rukmini. Reminds us of the story. The Brahmins were not willing to give the dust of their feet to cure Krishna's headache because they didn't want to go to hell. But the gopis said, take as much as you like. And then when they were asked, but you're going to go to hell? We don't care. We just want Krishna's headache to go away. Take as much. That's pure devotion. That's what we're, can't be there, but we strive for that. Therefore we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. When the time came for Srimati Rukmini Devi to visit the temple of Sri Ambika, she proceeded there surrounded by many guards. After bowing down to the deity, Rukmini prayed to be allowed to have Sri Krishna as her husband. Yes, you can worship a demigod, provided it's to get Krishna. The gopis worshipped externally Katyayani. Actually, they were worshipping Yogamaya. But externally, it appeared that they were worshipping goddess Durga. But each of the girls, unknown to the others, during that month of Hemanta season, each of them, when in the water, was asking, I want Krishna as my husband. Each one. After bowing down to the deity, Rukmini prayed to be allowed to have Sri Krishna as her husband. Then she took the hand of a girlfriend and left the Ambika temple. Seeing her inexpressible beauty, the great heroes present dropped their weapons and fell to the ground unconscious. That's a beautiful woman. In fact, in Krishna book, Prabhupada says they fell off their horses. That's what you call beauty. Dazzling. Like they even had, you know, you take my breath away. That's Rukmini. Wow. Rukmini walked with deliberate steps until she noticed Krishna. Then, as everyone looked on, Sri Krishna took Rukmini onto his chariot like a lion claiming his rightful share from a band of jackals. He drove back all the opposing kings and slowly made his exit, followed by his associates. And I believe in Krishna book, Prabhupada says, Shishupal did nothing. What a chump. What a eunuch. Here's his wife. He should at least try to fight for her. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't deserve Rukmini. Jarasandha, however, and the other kings, unable to bear their defeat and dishonor, loudly condemned themselves, declaring that this defamation was like a petty animal's stealing away what rightfully belongs to the lion. So, what happens after this? Rukmi is the only one. Rukmi says, well, if nobody is going to save my sister's honor, I am. So, Rukmi got in the chariot and chased after Krishna. And Krishna and Rukmi were exchanging arrows. But Krishna was very expert. He took care of the horses and he got to the point where Rukmi was tied up and Krishna with a sword was maybe going to kill him. Rukmini fell at Krishna's feet. And Rukmini, even though her brother was the one who didn't want her to marry Krishna, still soft-hearted nature of woman. She could not bear to have her brother killed. So Rukmini begged Krishna, no, don't kill him. So what did Krishna do? He humbled him, as it is said, for one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. Shame. For a kshatriya to be shamed, that's unbearable. So yes, he snipped at his mustache and hair and made him look odd looking. And Rukmi vowed, because he had made a vow when he charged, that if I don't rescue my sister, I'm giving up my kingdom. And it appears that he kept his word, because he left and resided in one village. But he comes back later. And who finally kills him? Balaram, in a gambling match. Balaram has had enough of Rukmi's lying and cheating. And what does Balaram do? With his club, right? Over the head, was it? Or was it the teeth? Oh, that was the...
No, the
king of Kalinga, because he was smiling during whenever the cheating was going on.
Smiling sarcastically.
Yes, smiling sarcastically. Yes. So, just as Krishna is finishing up snipping at Rukmi, Balaram comes. And Balaram, he's Adi Guru, the original spiritual master. So he speaks to Rukmini and to Krishna very nicely. To Krishna, he says, Krishna, you can't do this to Rukmi. Wherever he may be, he's now our brother-in-law. We have to accept him. And then Balaram says to Rukmini, why are you lamenting? Your brother is only getting his karma. So why are you lamenting? So that's spiritual master. Spiritual master gives you instruction. What you should do, what you should not do, and how to see every aspect of your life transcendentally. That's guru's job. Om jnana timarandasya jnananjana shalakaya. Chakshuran militam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha. The spiritual master opens your eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Tamasi ma jyotirgama. Come out of the darkness. Go to the light of Vedic knowledge. And this is another wonderful aspect of Srila Prabhupada, that he stressed transcendental knowledge. Prabhupada did not just want to have a temple where you come in, ring the bell, say a few prayers, do some mudras and walk out. No. Prabhupada insisted there must be morning and evening class. Prabhupada's envision for a temple was that his temple should be learning institutions. Prabhupada stressed that you must have transcendental knowledge. And Prabhupada taught through his books. Why is he writing his books? Prabhupada is writing his books for us. That was one of Prabhupada's great gifts, his Bhaktivedanta purports, giving us transcendental knowledge practically so that you can understand it and also apply it. We can never repay what Srila Prabhupada has given to us. We can attempt to repay, as he said, when he said, just spread what I have given you. And that's our duty. Our duty is to take what Prabhupada has given us and give it to everyone all over the world, even in Vancouver. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you come tonight, I will read from Krishna book the exchange between Krishna and Rukmini, where Krishna tells Rukmini she should divorce him. Yes. Yes, you want, it's time for...
I have a few drops of nectar.
Please. Yes.
Okay, just 1 minute after that.
No problem. Oh. This nice nectar, where is this coming from?
Jiva Goswami.
Aha.
This is Jiva. And also, apparently, there was a large battle in the beginning. All these Kshatriyas, they came to follow Krishna. It said there was such a large battle, so many people died that the bodies were piled up high to Swarga.
Anything else? Anybody want to share? Okay.
Also, I was on my list. It says that the Rukmini was so chaste that when she was sitting, that Krishna kidnapped her, she never touched him. She says they only touched my eye by glancing at each other.
Anything else? Everybody happy? No? We're not happy? Oh.
Happy.
Okay, so let's take prasadam and Haribol. ISKCON Vancouver Key.